This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you'd like to contact me or if you'd like to re-listen to this program on my website or read my current meditation, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my website address down at the close of the program. I'll also give you my mailing address and you can contact me that way as well. Now today we're going to continue our journey through Genesis, the book of beginnings. We also have noted that the book of Genesis is the book where people go down. They end up going down into Egypt. And as we look at Genesis chapter 1, we note that God did everything good, but Satan came in and destroyed that which glorified God. And so there's a constant movement away from God, a constant departure from God. As we look at the New Testament, we come to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, which I often quote, which says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And when we begin to think of our journey through life, there are many people who would like to believe that through reformation, through philosophical endeavors, through mental persuasion and in different ways that they can improve themselves and make themselves more like God. But the Bible tells us that unless we come to grips with this sin issue that we see in the book of Genesis, unless we deal with that sin issue and are born again, regenerated, or saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our journey is not upward, our journey is downward. Our journey is not to get better, our tendency is to get worse. Our journey is not toward God, but away from God. And the first time we make a good decision is the time when we worship God the way He wants to be worshiped. And that way of worshiping God is found in our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to just review, as we come to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, we read, "Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And you'll notice that what God did was good. It was, when He got done with it, very good. So the end of this creation period that we read about in the first part of Genesis has to do with what God has done. And God did that which was good. God is good, and He does good. But then we read in Genesis 2 and verse 16 about a command that the Lord gave Adam and Eve when He placed them in the garden. Just one command. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And I have underlined in my own work that word surely, because God has made a definite statement here and given a definite command, "You shall surely die." Now, the way Satan was able to destroy that which had been very good was by questioning that command, and he did that with Eve. The woman, or the serpent, said to the woman in Genesis 3 and verse 4, "You will not surely die." If we read that section, we'll find out that he says to the woman, "Yea, hath God said." And so, even today, that is the way that Satan works. He does not come right out, in most of our lives, he does not come right out and say that the Bible is not true. He says that the Bible contains the Word of God, but it isn't totally the Word of God, and that we have to make our own decisions. And don't we teach our children that? We say, well, when you're of age, you can make your own decisions with regard to relationship with God, instead of just teaching them that the Bible is true. And yes, they have to have a time in their own lives when their relationship with God becomes personal, and when they themselves personally turn from sin and unbelief to the Savior. But at the same time, we should not tell them that the decisions that men make in this area are all good, because they are not. Satan says, yea, hath God said, and he would like our children to question that even today, in the place where they get the worst dose of this kind of thinking is in our universities today. The universities used to be founded, in many cases, they were founded on religious principles, and most of the private ones, at least, studied the Bible and had chapel and considered the God that was revealed in the Bible to be the one and only true God. But now today, in most of those same universities and colleges, the Bible is being questioned, and people are being told that there are many different manuscripts and many different interpretations of those manuscripts. And when you come to the state universities, the God that we call science has superseded the God that we call the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's unfortunate, because the two are very compatible. That which the Lord has revealed to us is perfectly compatible with what good science finds, but those who do not want to believe in good science and who would like to believe that man is just a glob that happened through time and chance, they teach that in the universities and will not allow the thought process to be considered, which would say that there is an intelligent designer. We know that that intelligent designer is the Lord Jesus himself. By him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he made this world out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. And when Satan comes along and takes what God has done and says, yea, hath God said, and puts doubts in our minds, then we are what people call, and what the Bible calls, unbelievers. And this greatly offends God, and it affects not only our relationship with God, but it affects our relationship with one another. And so Eve listened to Satan, and she partook of that forbidden fruit. And Adam, as we have noted, because of his love for his wife, partook of it so he wouldn't lose his wife, and they were sent out of the garden. And then that led to the fight between Cain and Abel. Cain was Adam and Eve's firstborn, and he was a farmer, and Abel came along second, and he was a shepherd. And Abel offered to God a sacrifice from the flocks, and Cain offered a sacrifice from the fruit of the ground, and God accepted Abel's sacrifice, and he did not accept Cain's. And you could look at this story and say, well, God was unfair. Cain put a lot of effort into that which he offered God. But friend, you've got to offer God what God wants. We have a tendency to want to tell God how to do his work, and God wants to tell us how to do his work. And if it's an animal sacrifice that pleases God, then an animal sacrifice is what we should offer. And when we come to the New Testament, we read a lot of things today that people are saying just are not applicable to our society and our day. But if the Lord is pleased and tells us what he does please him, and if he tells us what offends him, we need to believe that. We should not let Satan come along and say, yea, hath God said. And so there turned out to be animosity between two different brothers and two different religious groups right here in the early part of Genesis, because Abel did that which was right, and Cain was upset with him because his offering was accepted by God. And so instead of Cain repenting and bringing a sacrifice that pleased God, and he easily could have, because he had to know that Adam and Eve were clothed with skins of an animals for a reason, he had to have heard the same instructions that Abel heard. And even if he wasn't clear in his mind about what pleased God, when he saw that Abel's sacrifice pleased God, he could have come along and offered the same sacrifice. But we have pride, and Cain had pride, and instead of doing what God had asked him to do, he slew his brother. And he said it when God called him out for doing it. He says, am I my brother's keeper? And he violated one of the basic principles of the Bible, that we are to love our brother as ourselves. We are to love one another. We are to love God, but we are to love one another. And so he slew his brother. And that kind of animosity between religious groups has existed down to our present day. It seems that we fight a lot of wars, and nearly every one of them can in some way be traced back to the way in which people worship God and their desire to stamp out those that are not like them. And we're seeing that happen in our own day. Whereas a Christian in love for one another would never destroy somebody who's an unbeliever, because they would believe that that person would go directly down to a sinner's hell and would never be saved if they destroyed them in their unbelief. Our desire is to tell people the truth that Christ did indeed die for sinners, and that he died for us, and that in trusting him, it can change our way of thinking. It can change our lives. It can change our destinies. And friend, I tell you that the gospel really is good news, and Cain really was an obstinate, proud, rebellious man. But all of that came in because of Adam and Eve's unwillingness to obey just that one command. And so when we read then in Genesis 5 about the genealogies of those people who lived so long, each one of the genealogies end with, "and he died," with one exception, and we won't go into that right now. Enoch did not die. He's a picture of those who will go directly to heaven when the Lord returns and raptures his saints, so that they don't have to go through the terrible wrath that is coming. Our salvation is from both spiritual punishment and eternal punishment. And our salvation is from punishment that is going to fall on this world. So Enoch did not die, but the rest did. And so when God said, "Ye shall surely die," while physical death did not occur immediately, physical death surely did occur. And spiritual death, separation from God, did occur immediately. And so this all then leads up to Noah's day, when things get more and more wicked. And as I said, we don't travel toward God. We travel away from God unless we come to God by faith and trust his Son. And so in Noah's day, we find out that the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And God was sorry that he had made man, but he found one man who worshiped him. And that was Noah. And we read Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So in the midst of all of this sin, there is still a glimmer of hope, and it's because of God's willingness to give us a salvation we do not deserve. And Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his soul. The ark has been prepared at the cross, and friend, I trust that you've been at the cross, and you found grace too in the eyes of the Lord, that you too have received the gift you did not deserve, and that you are ready for eternity and for a life with the Lord throughout the endless ages of eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless that which has been of thyself. Bless our listeners. Bless any who are not truly saved, who have never found grace, and who have never turned to the Lord for salvation from the penalty that their sin deserves. Bless thy word. We thank thee for thy Son. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.